RadioInfluence.com.
A championship. Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, we're your weekly source for performance information. If you have questions, comments, smart remarks, as the man said, do get in touch with us. Crushperformance.com is the website. Info at Crushperformance is the email. Let us know if you want us to investigate a question or if you have a topic that we really like. We may dedicate a segment or an entire episode to your idea, so get to us on Twitter, at Jeff Crush, and on social media. Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel, which has been a ton of fun. Just search out Crush Performance. Today, a really cool show. I'm looking forward to this one because it is the fall. Fall season is maybe my favorite time of year for a number of reasons. Halloween, I think, is one of my favorite holidays. But in terms of sports, Connor, does it get better than this? Does it get better than the fall season for sports? I just can't see it.
No, I mean, everything's going. You've got the Ryder Cup going on this weekend. NFL's underway, CFL, MLB playoffs coming up. NBA will be going shortly, the NHL. It's a lot going on right now. NCAA football, NCAA basketball gets going. It's going to be action-packed for the next couple of months here.
Yeah, for sure. High school sports are underway. Absolutely. Everybody's getting into action. It's such a great transition. So today we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about all of the sports. We're going to look at the Major League Baseball season. It's a very, very interesting season. We're going to set up the NHL season as it gets underway. And I just got back from an incredible trip to New Zealand with the International Sports Group Baseball. They had me out there to speak to the people in New Zealand, but I got a chance to tour around the company, our country, and talk to a lot of their sporting leaders there. A real fascinating culture and a lot of issues that are the same as everywhere else. So the final part of the show, we're going to talk about the mismatch between player development and athlete development. There are some missing links there, and it's happening everywhere I go. I mean, I've been really, really lucky to go to almost every continent. I haven't been to the Far East. I think that's sort of the last untapped territory for a Crush Performance, but I've been lucky to go to Africa, all through Europe, Eastern Europe. I've been down through Central America, South America, just talking high performance. But what a gift to be able to see the world from an international standpoint when it comes to high-performance sports. And for everybody out there, everybody's facing the same issues. So we're going to talk about that and some of the things that I learned when I was down in New Zealand because it was a fantastic, especially meeting with some of the rugby people. Of course, you guys know with the All Blacks, it is rugby heaven down there. So we'll talk about that later in the show. But the question of the day, with all of these incredible sports going on, I wanted to know, what's your favorite fall sport is? So we have a $25 gift certificate from Deluxe Burger up for grabs. All we need is for you guys to text us. Text us or get to us on Twitter or send us an email. We're going to pick somebody from the social media pool and maybe even a couple people to win a couple gift certificates from Deluxe Burger. And these guys are great, man. They take pride in their food. That's why we're so proud to partner with these guys. They are really passionate about the quality of the food, and their menu is fantastic. If you haven't eaten at Deluxe Burger, I suggest you go. They got a really cool restaurant now opened at the airport as well. So get to us. What is your favorite fall sport? And we got a couple $25 Deluxe Burger gift certificates to give away. The text number is 101260. Standard text rates do apply. But I'd like to hear from you. Let us know. We'll be getting to those. And maybe tell us why. Connor, if I were to ask you what your favorite fall sport is amongst everything that's going on, Would you have a clear answer? Is there a clear winner for the con man?
Yeah, it's not even close, actually. Oh, NFL football is number one for me. And
you know what? I should have had you make me guess. It wouldn't have been much of a challenge, even though you're wearing a Padres hat for some particular reason I can't quite figure out.
Well, I mean, I'm a Chargers fan. I got to show some loyalty to the great city of San Diego.
Yeah, man. What a great place that would be to hang out, hey?
Yeah.
One of the most temperate climates in North America. I think they average about 75 degrees year-round.
Just sunny, calm.
The incredible zoo. You've got the water there close by.
Pacific Beach.
Yeah, and you've got sports. Incredible sports. Man, I had a chance to land in... I really had a chance to land in San Diego as a young professional. And my wife and I, sometimes we look back and going, what have we done? Especially when you look at this September up north. Crazy cold September. Well, there's so many options. For me, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to make you guess, Connor, what you think my number one fall sport is.
Baseball playoffs.
Yeah, without question. Is it that easy? Am I that transparent, man?
You've got a history with it.
Okay, I get it, man. I tell you, I do love the football, though. For me, as an athlete, like, we're just playing around. Fall is football for me. And unfortunately, in my high school where I grew up, out in Westlock, we didn't have a football team. But when it was fall, back to school meant football, man. And of course, you had the CFL kicking off, the NFL kicking off. So, I mean, fall for me is truly football, but I can't get away from the baseball playoffs. And what a season this has been. It really has been an incredible season in Major League Baseball. And later in the show, we're going to set up the NHL season. And towards the end, we're going to talk about the mismatch between player development and athlete development. There are things holding us back. I want to clear the air, at least give you my opinion on that. But every year we set up the start of the season. You know, we just did the NFL, and I think we're right on track. If we look at the NFL standings, we'll look at that in a minute. But we look at the start of a pro season, because on this show and in Crush Performance, we always like to look to the very best to see what's going to happen. And we pick our teams to follow and the hot stories and the players to follow, not necessarily because we want to see them win, but because we want to see them perform and how they're going to perform. So coming up, I'm going to let you guys know what my number one NHL team to watch this year is, and it has nothing to do with winning. I just want to see how this team's going to perform under pressure, and I think you guys know who I might be talking about. But in baseball, it's been a very, very interesting year. It started off, of course, the playoffs are pretty much set, except for, as we sit here today, the Dodgers in Colorado have been going back and forth for the better part of this season. And for me, that was the division watch. The NL West was the only game to watch almost this entire season, because Connor, every other division was a runaway this year. And by the way, the Yankees, I think, just clinched the home field advantage in the wild card. So that's all done. I mean, the playoffs are pretty much set, except we need to find out what's going to happen with the Dodgers. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what the Dodgers did, obviously not the start they wanted to get the year going. They go out and get Manny Machado from the Orioles. That was a huge addition. And they are still one game back of the Colorado Rockies right now, Saturday afternoon. So I kind of want the Rockies to do it. It's a team that really, when's the last time they made the playoffs? They really haven't had that much success. The Dodgers have been there before. I would love to see the Rockies find a way to win the NL West.
Yeah, so let's say Rockies clinch the West. Dodgers are still in the running for the wild card. And they still have to battle for the wild card too, right? Am I right?
Yeah, the wild card right now, they are currently in the spot. It would be them taking on the Milwaukee Brewers, who are four games up, so Milwaukee pretty much good to go.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are a game and a half back, so the Cards would
That's who it is, right?
Yeah, so it's surprising. I mean, you'd like to see a few more tight races going into the end here, but it's good to see. We know who is going to be in the playoffs, who's going to be in the wild card game in the AL. Now we just need to sell this NL.
Yeah. If we go back to the Major League Baseball season, I think we hit our mark in terms of teams to watch. Other than the Oakland A's, they are the big surprise this year. I think we were all pretty confident on what the Brewers are going to do. But again, we look at these teams because we're talking culture here. What are these teams doing internally to be successful, or what's happened that they're not successful? And holy cow, have you seen anything like the Baltimore Orioles this year? 60.5 games back. They were 50 games back at the All-Star game. just crazy year, a very, very poor showing for them. And I don't think anybody saw it coming. But again, that goes back to the start of the season and the big controversy between the Players Association and the owners. If you all remember, at the start of the season, there was a big, big concern over the number of free agents who haven't been signed. The Players Association were accusing the owners of holding back and not spending money appropriately and signing these players. And they actually filed a grievance, which doesn't bode well for the collective bargaining agreement. They've got a lot of work to do if we don't want to see a stoppage of play, which I think would be just totally devastating to the game. But that's how our season started off. And Connor, it's been a turbulent year in the big picture for Major League Baseball for a number of reasons.
Yeah, I mean, the AL East is kind of the poster boy for that. Imagine the Baltimore Orioles 60 games back, run differential -270, and then you've got, you know, three very strong teams in the Boston Red Sox who are just outstanding. The Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays, if they played in any other division, might have won it. It sucks that they had to play the Yankees and Rays so much. That definitely hurt them. But they're still 16 games above 500. You're right. I mean, if there is a dispute like that about owners collectively not paying certain players that much money and the Players Association has an issue with it, that doesn't bode well going forward.
No, and I think the fans are getting upset as well. We know that analytics is playing a big, big role in how the game is played. We saw the concern with the number of strikeouts, the number of home runs. The game is changing. There's no question about it. And analytics is a big part of it. We're seeing now veteran players calling out this whole new age of analytics. They want to put an end to it. I don't know how you do it. Some of those numbers are important. We've gone too far. There's no question. I think we're slowly coming back to the way the game's going to be played in the future. But the team that can jump ahead here, that can get away from all of these analytic numbers and get back to maybe doing some of the things that make gritty ball teams successful, there's a big advantage here. There's a big advantage to be had by the team that gets on top of it. Do you agree with that, Garner?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you always want to stay ahead of the curve. I don't know how you take analytics out of baseball. I don't know what you could do to limit it. I know there's things kind of the infield shift where you have like four guys on the right side of the second base. Bad. I don't know if there's anything you can do to kind of limit those sort of things, but if I'm a batter, I'm going to try to take advantage of that. Maybe learn to hit the other way.
I'm with you. These are big league hitters. Hit it the other way.
And then you have an easy one.
Go down to the minor leagues, work on driving the ball the opposite direction, and get it done. I mean, that's just part of the game, and I don't mind that at all. If a team wants to put all their eggs in a basket and put that massive shift on, they may pay the price, and I'd like to see that more often than not. I mean,
yeah, you're right. These are the most talented players in the world. If they can't spend their offseason, whatever, take 100 pitches a day and just work on going the opposite direction, then that might be a problem. They've got to adapt to that.
Well, there's nobody more powerful in sport than the fan base. And I think baseball fans are speaking that attendance is down. On average, attendance across the league is down by 1,209 fans per game. And if you go to Vivid Seats, according to Vivid Seats data across the length of the season, that's costing Major League Baseball about $125 million of revenue, of lost revenue compared to last year. And if I were to ask you, Connor, who do you think is the team with the most drastic change in attendance? Who would you guess?
Well, the Jays would probably be up there.
The Jays are it. You know, you're just, I can't get anything by you, man.
they were so good for the past, well, maybe not so much last year, but the two previous years. Man, I have never seen the Sky Dome as busy as it was. And I've been watching the Jays, the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Those two seasons, I hadn't seen anything like it because I kind of missed out on the World Series seasons. And now it's just back to normal. I mean, I have friends that lived in the Toronto area and their Saturday or Sunday afternoon was going to the Jays game because you could buy tickets for $12.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're averaging 28,566 fans per game, down from 39,554, a difference of almost 11,000 fans per game. It's the most drastic drop in attendance in Major League history. And you can't blame the weather because this is a domed ballpark. So the Jays are up against it. I mean, I think maybe Canadian fans just don't have a tolerance for what's going on there. I think it really reflects on what's happened with that organization, but maybe also on baseball as a whole.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, the debate's been going on for the last few years now. How do you make baseball more attractive to the younger generation? How do you speed it up? In Toronto, there's other things you can do. There's TFC. There's the Argos, although maybe the Argos kind of show you they're not the biggest sports town. The Jays, when they have success, are must-see in that city. But when the team's not winning, the fan base isn't going to hop on. It's not the Maple Leafs. It's not the Raptors. It's just a kind of a tough sell at that point.
Yeah, you have to be competitive, bottom line.
And I mean, the Raptors can show you that right now. They are competitive now, and people are going to games. A few years ago when they weren't, there were some empty seats.
Good luck getting a Leafs ticket this year.
Yeah, they could go 0-81. That last game would still be sold out.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, listen. So again, we like to look at the pro sports to find out what's going on, but there's some context for you. We're going to be watching the MLB playoffs with great interest. We're going to be wrapping up the baseball season here towards the end of October. We're going to talk about off-season preparation and injury prevention for players. So stay tuned for that. We're going to talk to some of the best people in the game. Coming up after this break, Connor and I are going to preview the NHL season, and we're going to give you our picks for Stanley Cup champions this year. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. If you're anything like me, you'll probably agree that there's nothing quite like getting out to a live event. Sports, theater, music, you name it. So I've been using Vivid Seats. It's an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing you with the live event experience of a lifetime. They really make getting to your event simple, and every confirmed order is backed by a 100% guarantee. And another thing that I really like is that you can sort your seats by price or look at seats in the section or row of your choice. And it's really easy. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. And to make things even better, enter the promo code INFLUENCE and receive 10% off of your first purchase with Vivid Seats. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, they've got it all. Download the Vivid Seats app and enter the promo code INFLUENCE for 10% off of your first purchase, and let Vivid Seats help you get out to your favorite event. Again, download the Vivid Seats app and enter the promo code INFLUENCE for 10% off of your first purchase. So get out there and make some memories with Vivid Seats.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
And welcome back, everybody. Jeff Crochelle here, the con man behind the glass. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, reach out. Crushperformance.com is the website, on Twitter at Jeff Crush, and on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Check us out at Crush Performance. So today we are just sort of doing a fall review. So much going on in sport. We got the Ryder Cup. Man, that has been interesting to watch if you look at how Europe is playing and demolished the U.S. today. Big, big shift in performance there. And I guess you have an ebb and flow in sports, and we see it across the board. We're watching the NFL with interest. Major League playoffs are lined up. And, of course, the NHL season is getting set to kick off here right away. The preseason has been fun to watch, and a lot of interesting storylines are coming out. But the start of this season is going to be very, very important for a number of teams. At the start of each season, if you haven't heard the show before, we like to do a breakdown of what to watch inside of a sport. We always say look to the pros if you want to know what to do. We might go one step deeper here on the show. We like to look to the pros to see what's working and what's not working, and what we can take out of it to help ourselves perform. Sport is such a beautiful platform to evaluate performance. And the NHL, of course, when it comes to organizational performance, team performance, and of course, competitive performance on the ice, it's fascinating. Connor, let's start this off with teams to watch this year, and not necessarily because they're going to win. We'll finish this segment off with our picks for the Stanley Cup. But if you were going to pick a team to watch for any particular reason, if you were going to focus on one team, who would it be and why?
One team. People might not like it. It's a toss-up here, but I'm going to go with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh.
And the expectations are high. In case you missed it, TSN had Austin Matthews at their ninth best player in the NHL. He's got to stay healthy. But they bring in John Tavares, the local boy. I want to see what they can do. The hype surrounding them might get a little bit out of control if the success comes. But you bring in a guy like John Tavares, good things have to happen. Down the middle, they've got Tavares, Matthews, Nazem Kadri. They've got a lot of talent there. So that's one team I'll be watching. If I can slide another one in for a totally different reason, the Ottawa Senators. They're a tire fire, and I want to see how bad it will get with that hockey club, because nothing has gone right for them, top to bottom. And this is a team that was a game away from the Stanley Cup Finals only 2 years ago. Yep. So there's someone that I'm very intrigued by.
That's a great pick. And actually, I like your second pick maybe even more than the first pick, because if we go back and try to dissect what happened to the Senators, there's a lot to be learned here. I mean, if you were to break it down and sum it up and look what happened internally, man, just absolute chaos after such a successful run for so many years.
Yeah, we had AJ Jakubek from TSN out in Ottawa come on the show a while ago, and he just said star players don't want to play for Eugene Melnyk, the owner. And you've seen it a few times. Erik Karlsson being the latest. Guys don't want to be there. He rubs them the wrong way, and it's a trickle-down effect. I mean, we've talked about owners, the best owners in sports. Most of them keep their hands out of the hockey ops or the sports ops. Melnyk doesn't seem to, and it's rubbing players the wrong way, and it's not a good look for the franchise.
Yeah, the great owners, they stay in the background, they pay the bills, and they prop up the team. They're a leader, and there's a trickle-down effect, make no mistake, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. So much to learn. I'm with you on that one. My number one team, I do like the Toronto pick, by the way. That might be one of the toughest sports media markets on the planet. Maybe right there with New York. Maybe Boston's in there. But I think, could you say those three markets in terms of sports media are some of the toughest on the planet?
Oh, absolutely. Canada, Toronto, Montreal, those are tough. New York, Boston, maybe Chicago as well.
Yeah, definitely. For the NHL, I'm watching the Edmonton Oilers for a number of reasons. They're supposed to be really, really good. Last year, they were the odds-on favorite, Vegas favorite, to win the Stanley Cup. What a disastrous year, and we're still trying to figure out why it happened, because the talent there, they should be way better than they were. They should have performed better. New GM, great new coach. Everything seemed to be aligned. The stars were coming together, and that's what everybody thought, but man, it didn't happen. I'm still trying to figure out why.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for me, it was just that Chiarelli had confidence in his younger players to take that next step, and I respect him for that. But it didn't pan out. Matt Benning didn't take the steps that they thought he would. Drake Gajula. And then there was injuries. Oscar Klefbom was hurt throughout the year. The goaltending wasn't solid with Cam Talbot. For Adam Larson, it was a tough year off the ice. And Connor McDavid really can't do it all himself. So that's not a good combination.
He's good, but he's not that good. He needs some support for sure. Connor, their roster hasn't changed that much. This is an organization under fire for different reasons than maybe even the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and I mean, you look, I think the right wing position for the Oilers might just sum it up. If that right wing can play strong and Ty Ratty, Jesse Puljujärvi, and Kyler Yamamoto, if all those guys can take steps this year and stick around with the club and prove they're NHLers, then, you know, the top nine's not so bad, but they need that. They need their defensive group to play stronger. Klefbom and Larson have to be better. Darnell Nurse, you just want him to keep progressing. Matthew Benning, the same sort of thing. And then defensively, I mean, the third pairing for the Oilers, you've got Chris Russell probably locked in there. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Jason Garrison? Is it going to be Evan Bouchard, or who they drafted in the first round?
So much talent.
There's a lot of talent there. Oh. You just need it to all come together, and the goaltending has to be there. They didn't get it last year early. Cam Talbot struggled in the beginning, and it just didn't set the course right. Head coach Todd McClellan even said during training camp, he didn't want them to forget how hard it is to win in the NHL. And it kind of came out of nowhere when he said it, but I feel like he had a vision that they might have forgot how hard they have to work.
Right. And that's well said, and I like that. It's another reason I'm watching the Oilers with great interest, because I know the personnel guys in there. There's good people in that organization. We want them to do well, so fingers crossed for those guys. Another team I'm watching very closely is the Blackhawks. Hey, do you think the Blackhawks could be an example of the new age cycle of performance? Here's a team that was good for so long. They're not looking so great this year, and I can't really figure out why, other than it just seems to be the cycle that teams go through. I think it's really hard to have sustained performance in the day and age of the free agency and all the cap rules. It's very difficult. And maybe the Blackhawks are a victim of that.
Yeah, I mean, for so long you had Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Marian Hossa, Seabrook, Keith, defensively, Corey Crawford. And they've all aged or retired or been traded. Patrick Sharp, you know, all those guys kind of have just aged and moved on, and the Blackhawks for so long did such a good job of drafting and developing these players that they could slide into their bottom six or even their top six and contribute at a low salary. But then when those draft picks don't hit and you've got a lot of high-priced players, it's hard to have quality guys around your high-priced players. So I think that's just kind of the way it goes. I mean, how they were competitive for so long was very impressive. You just wonder, as the window closed.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking. So I'm watching them for sure. And there's a number of teams. I mean, we're watching the Canucks. There's no Twins this year in the Canucks. I mean, so we'll watch the Canucks. I'll be watching the Canucks to try to maybe get a better understanding of the impact those two players had in that organization. You know, we saw it in, I was actually pleasantly surprised in baseball this year when Cano got his PED ban. I was saying, okay, man, Seattle is going to collapse. He's one of their highest paid players, one of the pillars of their franchise, gone for 80 games. They didn't miss a beat in the absence of Cano. And I'm watching the Canucks to see not so much the team success, but maybe how powerful two brothers can be on a roster of an NHL team.
Yeah, we had Brennan Clack in before talking about that at NHL Update, if you want to give him a follow on Twitter. And he was just talking about, you know, the possession. The possession numbers that those guys had were still very good in the NHL. You take that away, it could be a tough year in Vancouver.
They combined for 105 points last year. Are you kidding me? Talk about going out on top. Like, how do you fill that void? There's a true experiment to watch. That's the kind of stuff I love to watch in sports. So I'll be watching those guys with interest. The Senators, again, I got to go back to there because you're right. What a debacle. And I think there's going to be a lot to learn coming out of that organization. I mean, you can't change ownership. We'll see if they can persevere. So much to watch. Connor, let's narrow the field a little bit. If you were going to pick maybe a couple of players to watch for no particular reason, of interest, I've got a couple. Are there any players you're watching? I'll give you my first one. I'm watching Carey Price right off the bat because I think he is way, way better than he was last year. So I would like to see him rebound, but also the power he has to change the fate of that organization. I think there's a lot of that on his shoulders. Can he rise up and rebound back to his form to help that franchise be successful? So I'm watching Price with interest.
One guy to watch for me, I think Rasmus Dahlin, the number one overall pick with the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
What he's been able to do in preseason has been fantastic, but will that continue into the regular season when you're going up against NHLers all night? It's tough for a defenseman to jump right into the league after being drafted. We've seen Aaron Ekblad do it. I think Rasmus Dahlin's going to be a fun guy to watch in Buffalo with some young talented players around him.
Yeah. I'm going to give you two names. And I want to know if you have any interest in watching these guys. Carlson after the move, and one other one, you mentioned it already, Tavares in Toronto. Let's start with there. Are you worried about how he reacts now in Toronto?
No, I don't think
so. He's pretty solid, man.
I think, you know, he's played at high levels before internationally. He's calm, he's composed. I think it's so cool that he's going back to his hometown team, the team he grew up cheering for, and getting to live out his dream. Now, if things go wrong, he might not like it as much. That Toronto media, it's nonstop. It will, any little thing he does, there will be an article about it. You're always being watched. It is the fishbowl. So I hope the best for him, but he's definitely an intriguing player to watch this year.
Yeah, and I think for young players, if you want to watch and get an example of how to act in pressure situations, he's a player you have to keep an eye on. And I don't care what team you cheer for. For young players, junior players, aspiring young midget and bantam players, I would keep an eye on John Tavares. How about Carlson? I mean, he had just a whole soap opera around him last year. What a disaster, man. And we talk about limiting distractions for players. I wonder if he can bounce back and actually be a impact player this year.
Yeah, and you know, players go to San Jose. You've seen them acquire Joe Thornton, Evander Kane. And they re-sign there. I think it's kind of a unique situation where you're at the arena. It's always sold out. Passionate fan base. But it's a nice place to live. And I don't think you're hassled or anything. I think it's just a very popular place by veteran players to go and live and play their career. So I think that Carlson's going to end up signing a long-term deal there. I think they'll find a way to get it done. Joe Thornton might be off the books going into next season. So maybe they can get a contract for Carlson. But yeah, certainly he's intriguing. You got possibly two of the top three power play specialists in the league, just in terms of defensemen, with Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson. It's going to be fun to watch in San Jose. Tough news for Oilers fans, Flames fans, Canucks fans, Golden Knights fans, but that's going to be a fun team to watch and a team that should do some damage.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. Last player to watch before we get to our NHL picks for this year. I'm sort of doubling down on it because I'm watching the Oilers with great interest. One, because I kind of know the guys in the organization, but two, what this organization has been through. Connor McDavid. I mean, here's a real special young professional, right? And everybody knows it. He is the face of that franchise. And the way this young athlete has handled himself in, I think, maybe one of the most difficult situations in sport recently across the board, has been absolutely tremendous. What an ambassador for sport. I love this kid.
I think you can go further than saying he's the face of the franchise. He's the face of the NHL now.
Yeah,
he's the
call.
Best player in the NHL. He's surpassed Sidney Crosby. There's no other player you would take on your team ahead of Connor McDavid. And now, I mean, how good can he be? 108 points last year with barely any power play points. He was sick for two, 3 weeks where to the point where he lost 15 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, that is a really scary number for a professional athlete, and to continue playing throughout that period. He was not in good shape for a while there, and he still led the league in scoring, you know, and he developed, I kind of called it the Mamba mentality, the Kobe Bryant mentality,
right,
where I'm just going to keep shooting. I'm the best player on the team. I'm going to keep shooting. And down the stretch, he put up a lot of goals. So, I mean, 50 goals scored this year, can he get to 120 points? That'd be 12 more points than last year. He could do that on the power play alone. So,
Yeah,
he's an exciting player to watch, and he's a great ambassador for the league as well.
Yeah, no question about it. And to watch him mature as well, just in the way he plays his game at the NHL level, it's been fun to watch him develop and mature. We'll see more of that this year, no question about it. I can see players wanting to come to this franchise just to be close to him and play with him.
Yeah, and I mean, the opportunity it gives some players. Look at Ty Ratty. He spoke many times about the offseason, like, I know this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I've got to work hard to get there and, you know, geez, hopefully get another contract to play a few more years alongside him.
Okay, excellent. No, and I agree. So he'll be, of course, a player to watch, and he will be for every young player, and rightfully so. Okay, before we close out this segment, I want to get to the odds. Who's going to be successful this year in the NHL? Who's going to win the Stanley Cup? Well, there's a couple of odds charts out right now, but Tampa Bay Lightning are leading the way. At the very, very bottom are the Senators, your team to watch for a very different reason. But if you were going to pick a team to go all the way this year and hoist that cup at the end, could you make a prediction right now?
Yeah, and I look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think that's a very good pick. And from the West, I go San Jose. So the hockey traditionalists might not like it, Tampa Bay versus San Jose in the Stanley Cup Finals, but that's my extremely preseason prediction.
I like it. I do believe that the Leafs are going to be incredibly successful this year. I think they're going to ride this wave. They've got some momentum. So I'm watching Leafs, and you cannot. I mean, I'm going to see them be successful, and I'm going to make kind of a weird one. I just like Tampa. I've liked Tampa the last 5 years. We've been watching them closely. That organization and how they operate even inside of the city of Tampa Bay, they've created a buzz around that city in a tropical climate like no other. And the success does have something to do with it, but they do a really good job of getting involved in that community. So there's lots to watch. Again, we got to cut out for a quick break. So before we do, though, I want to know what your favorite sport is. What's your favorite fall sport? We have a $25 Deluxe Burger gift certificate to give away. We've got a few texts coming in. We'll get to those right after the break. But let us know. Text 101260. You can get us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. What is your favorite fall sport? Right after this break, we're going to talk about my trip to New Zealand and some of the things that I learned there talking to their rugby community. And I really want to get to something that's been bothering me for quite some time. The missing link between athlete development and player development right after this on Crush Performance.
Hey, this is Bobby Sue Doyle-Hazard, host of Leveling the Playing Field, a podcast truly focused on women in the sports world. I'm so excited to bring this to you. It is for young women who are looking to get into the sports industry and women who are already in their careers, also looking to make a change. I want to put a spotlight on the amazing women that we have in sports now, and hopefully we can all learn a little something. Please make sure to subscribe to my podcast, Leveling the Playing Field, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and with my guys at radioinfluence.com.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Crush Performance. We're going to close it out here. A fantastic show today as we sort of profile the NHL season, talked about our favorite fall sports, and I want to get into a little athlete development here. The question of the day, what is your fall sport? Very cool answers here. It's sort of neck and neck between football and baseball. From Caps fan, baseball playoffs for sure, most intense, nothing better than full count series, tied at the bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, no doubt about it. And we are hoping for some playoff action like that. So we've got baseball, football, and then curling. I don't know if curling was even on my radar. So surprise, surprise, that's coming out of Winnipeg. Pretty cool, but why not? Yay, man, curling's a fun sport.
Hey, you get those weekend bonspiels. That's never a bad time.
Fantastic. I curled in two bonspiels last year, mixed bonspiels. Just a ton of fun. We didn't have a lot of success on the ice. But man, what a great time.
Isn't curling more about the off-ice activities?
It definitely is. I can vouch for that. There's no doubt. Just fun stuff. There's so much community and good stuff that goes on around the game of curling for sure. So that's a new one in the fold. I want to thank everybody for writing in. We're going to be picking our winner here. So stay tuned for that and keep your eyes open for a contact from Crush Performance. So listen, everybody, I just got back from a very cool trip to New Zealand. My first time down there. I was invited down there to speak at a clinic of coaching development, was sort of the theme of great coaches of all levels of play, right from their national and pro team. They have a new pro team that's going to be playing in the Australian Baseball League there. And also met with some of their Olympic sports, their softball. Softball is huge there. Cricket is a big, big sport. Met with one of their top diving instructors and got a chance to also meet with their rugby community. And some, man, just some great, great people there. Had a chance to get down to Wellington and watch the U18 team train. This is sort of the next generation of top rugby players in that region. And it was fascinating to see these guys get out and watching their warmups and looking at, you know, talking to the coaches and looking at some of the things they're trying to accomplish. But at every single practice and game that I went to down there at every level, there was a former All Black present. And when we're watching the U18 Wellington team selects just with their practice, I had a chance to meet Dave Loveridge, who is a top 100 all-time All Black. He has 54 matches under his belt, I think 24 test matches, just one of the epic, epic players. And we just struck off just a great, great conversation. And it turned to just pure athlete development. And he's talking about some of the issues that they face in the game of rugby. Now, you'd think, of course, the All Blacks, probably one of the strongest rugby organizations on the planet. And, of course, one of the organizations in terms of teams to watch. I don't think there's a professional sporting organization in any sport that hasn't looked to or reached out to the All Blacks to see how they operate. Because they have created a culture like no others. They've created a culture that probably every other team is either envious of or trying to learn from. And I've talked any other team in any sport. There's so much to learn from these organizations that do it quite right. And they do have something special going on there. But one thing that I learned about rugby, New Zealand rugby, is that very similar to the North American sports, that you're kind of out in the Wild West until you crack into that elite level. And talking with Dave Loveridge out in the field, we spoke for about an hour, just standing around talking shop. And he said something that was very profound to me. It's similar to what we talk about in terms of talent development. If you've listened to the show before, you've heard us probably talk about how we're mismanaging our talent and the fact that I truly do believe that we're wasting more talent than we develop. Because we know that at the developmental ages, let's say 13, 14, 15, and 16, when the kids start, you know, getting pretty competent in sport, they understand competition, they have some drive and maybe some passion showing. Not that younger kids don't, but we want to try to keep those younger kids involved in multiple sports and just feed that fire for sure. But in our minds, I think that we gravitate towards the best players, and the ones that don't quite show well at that 13, 14, 15 year age mark, we sort of brush off to the side and let them sort of figure things out for themselves, which could be good or bad. Maybe the jury's still out on that one. But the problem is the talent that we see at 13, 14, 15, and 16, the standouts there, for the most part, if you look at some of the data, around 60 to 70%, 60%, 70% of the top players in that age group will not rise to be the best. So where are the best coming from? Well, they're coming from that periphery, that periphery that we've ignored in the developmental model. And Dave was talking on the sideline in the rugby field when I was in New Zealand about a similar concept, but he framed it like this. It's kind of like a pyramid. The talent pool is like a pyramid. We're really, really big at the top. And you think that it would just be sort of a gradual decrease as kids drop out, they have different interests, but kids that really have passion for the sport. But he said, no, that's not what happens. He said at a very early age, they cut out the players that aren't showing well in the game of rugby. So it doesn't turn out like a pyramid. It turns out like a skyscraper tower, a very narrow tower that goes straight up. We focus in on the best players early and we don't really worry about anybody else, and we're losing so much talent. It was music to my ears because that's exactly what's happening in pretty much every single sport in North America. Now, there's a lot of issues revolving around this and a lot of reasons why. And I think one of the big things is our understanding of player development versus athlete development. And the link between those two are so, so important. We have to understand that as coaches, technical, tactical coaches, regardless of your sport, you are incredibly limited in your ability to help an athlete succeed to high levels simply by their athletic abilities. And again, we know for a fact that there's not a lot we can't train when it comes to developing athletes. Faster, higher, stronger. As a matter of fact, we truly believe that we're sort of at a biological ceiling. We're at a point where, you know, there's very little that we can gain in terms of physical development of athletes. The problem is we're not doing a good enough job of it right now. So our elite athletes get all this special treatment and we're tapping into this potential and we're pushing their ceiling of development higher. We're giving the goal of the athlete development program. Let's just make it simple. The goal of the athlete development program is to give the technical coaches athletes that they can develop into top level players, or at least allow those players to see where their potential is. When we have athletes who are 10, 11, 12 years of age, we are looking 10 years down the road to see how high we could push that ceiling. If we don't attack that very special age group, 9, 10, 11, we're really lowering the ceiling of potential. And I think it was really interesting to hear one of the most elite rugby organizations and people in that organization talking like that. So fascinating. But keep that in mind. The key to performance, we have to be athletes before players. All right, that's it for today. I want to thank Connor for being on the show. I want to thank you for listening. Thanks for everybody for writing in. Next week, an incredibly important show, The Crush War on Sugar returns. Tune in for that one. It's a game changer. We'll talk to you then.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is an Ian Beckles Flava in Your Ear quick fix on Radio Influence.
As a big man, flying sucks to me. I hate flying. I hate to be around it. I can't afford first class. I don't know who can. When you look at first class tickets, they cost an arm and a leg and your first child. And then I guess they came out with a study and they showed that the seats have actually changed in size from 34 inches to 30 inches. Man, you can't break it down no more, guys. I can barely fit in them some bitches to begin with. You know how much more uncomfortable a seat is, less 4 inches? I mean, with my thighs and my big old hindquarters, I'm already sitting on somebody at 34 inches. You're going to make it 30 inches? I am oozing into everybody's sides, and nobody wants to sit with me. So shame on you, airlines. And I mean, I don't know how many more seats you could put in a plane. I remember being on a plane, they'll give you a full Diet Coke and they'll even give you a meal. Now they say, would you like something to drink? I would say, yeah, can I get a Diet Coke, please? And they give you this 2 ounce cup with a big gigantic ice in it. And you take one sip and Diet Coke's gone. And then they give you a satchel or another satchel, a package of peanuts. And I counted, there's 6 peanuts in there. There's 6 peanuts in there. So they broke down the seats, took away 4 inches. They took away 50 peanuts, and they could barely give you any liquid. So the prices of flights are skyrocketing. They're not going anywhere. And we are getting screwed basically as patrons out there, because that's about as uncomfortable as can be. If I don't ever fly again, I'm going to be fine.
You can find Ian Beckles Flava in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.